Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
News Radio 930 WBEN. It's Tom Bowerly and David Bellavia. It's Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN.
And welcome. It is Bowerly with you on News Radio 930 WBEN. We are live, and it is 6:08 at News Radio 930 WBEN live as we continue our live coverage of, have I emphasized that? Our live coverage of the sentencing of former Congressman Chris Collins. Chris Collins received 26 months in prison, so 2 years and 2 months in prison. 1 year probation, and a fine of $200,000. And has justice been done? And for the reasons that I enumerated earlier, this is pretty much in the ballpark of what I've been saying I would consider to be justice in this particular case. 1 to 2 years in prison seems appropriate to me. 2 years, I have no problem with that because, as I said earlier, the rest of us have got to know that the market isn't rigged. This goes well beyond a father protecting his son. This goes to the integrity of the American financial system and your investments and your 401k. And we want to know that everybody's got an equal shot in the ideal world, that everybody's got an equal shot, and that somebody who ought to know better is not involved in trying to save a few hundred thousand here or there because they have inside information. And Chris Collins's fine of $200,000 was on the low side, according to defense attorney Paul Cambria. This afternoon was filled. Now, keep in mind, the sentencing for Chris Collins was supposed to have taken place at 2:30. And it was 2:54 before everybody got situated. And the lawyers made their arguments before Judge Broderick in New York City. The prosecution, the U.S. Attorney's Office, repeatedly made the argument for the maximum sentence, which would have been roughly 3 to 4 years, the maximum sentence. And obviously, the defense attorneys wanted the most minimal punishment for Chris Collins. So the judge in this case kind of went in the middle with 26 months in prison for former Congressman Chris Collins in an insider trading situation. It was very heavy, and this was pointed up by one or two of our callers so far today. It was very heavily weighted, it seemed, on the idea that Chris Collins knew he was guilty, he knew that he had done what he was alleged to have done, and yet in the last election sought the votes of people knowing that he was guilty of the offenses that were charged to him. You know, this show was really the details of what was going on inside that courtroom was made possible by a terrific reporter. His name is Matthew Russell Lee. And as we've been crediting all afternoon, just so he knows, he is with Inner City Press on Twitter. And Matthew, thanks very much for joining us. You did a tremendous job. I felt like we were all sitting in the courtroom with you.
Happy to do that. Yeah, since in covering the courthouse, I'm really trying to do kind of live coverage. I think it's it's a good way. I've done it on a couple of trials. There's been some pushback, but I think people really have a right to know, you know, what's said, the blow by blow. And since they don't allow filming, you know what I mean? This is one way to do it.
I was surprised you were able to live tweet during court proceedings.
It's a little complicated, so I'll just say, like, I've done. The federal courts really need to think through how they do things. Like, they make some judges allow phones in, some don't. So it's a constant struggle. So honestly, while I continue to push every day here for greater access. I try to not. It's not a question of rocking the boat. You may have heard there's also a rapper. I mean, I've covered a lot of trials here, including like the brother of Honduras's president was convicted of being a narco trafficker. But there's a rapper, Tekashi 6ix9ine, Daniel Hernandez, during his trial or the sentencing of one of his co-defendants, the judge was like, there can be no live tweeting in this courtroom. And it's like, that wasn't really clear. But so it's a delicate dance. But I all I'll say is I played totally within the rules and just did the best that I could to I think, you know, it's hard to, but the people had to see, and I don't know if I was able to capture it in the tweets.
Oh, you did. And in particular, first of all, you cover this courtroom as a matter of your beat with Inner City Press. I mean, this is what you do.
From crack cases to cryptocurrency, and I put Representative Collins somewhere in between the two. You know.
Okay. Now, as far as the, can you just walk us through the emotions of the day? I mean, first of all, it was supposed to start at 2:30, and it started late. It started 24 minutes late. And then, were you expecting the arguments to take as long as they took?
I'll be honest with you. I mean, I think I've covered other things in front of Judge Broderick. Things do tend to go long. I mean, he's a thoughtful guy. So he'd ask them all some questions in writing, but you can blame a lot of it on Representative Collins' lawyers. They made a long presentation. There was a lot of talk about Boy Scouts, for example. And Judge Broderick, unlike some judges, are very businesslike and sort of, you know, they run the show a lot closer. I think my guess would be, as you noticed, hopefully either from the tweets and you'll see from it was important for him to try to say he's not in any way judging the politics of Chris Collins. You know, I think that there's a perception that he's a Democrat and Chris Collins is not, and that he might give a harsh sentence because of that. So he went out of his way to say, you're a public servant. I'm not looking at the substance of your political decisions, but he definitely trashed the crime he found very serious. So I think that's one of the reasons it took a lot of time is that there were everyone had something they wanted to accomplish. You know, Collins wanted to accomplish, you know, presenting himself as this guy who saved many businesses and this was a totally one-off crime. The government wanted to focus on, you know, that he knew exactly what he was doing. And Broderick had his own agenda, not agenda, but and I think it's understandable. He wanted to say that he himself and his colleagues, other judges, that this is not a political referendum on Collins' politics.
Yeah, I mean, he made it or tried to make it abundantly clear that this was about the facts and circumstances of the crimes to which Chris Collins had pleaded guilty, and not, as you said, a referendum on his politics. You know, one of the things that I found when reading your tweets during the Chris Collins sentencing today is the issue of Chris Collins running for re-election. Despite knowing to himself anyway that he was guilty as charged. Is it my imagination from your tweets, or did that seem to carry a lot of weight in that courtroom today against Chris Collins?
It's surprisingly it did. The way I would try to summarize is that the government really found that like an aggravating factor. He didn't just say, I'm not going to comment on it, and not just that he ran, that he said the charges are without merit. A lot of this focus, basically, they ended up, the Chris Collins side ended up having to say he couldn't stop running because he couldn't get his name off the ballot. But that's not really the case. It didn't seem like at the last second the government said we found an article that shows that he was still talking after he tried to say he took his name off the ballot. I think this is also one of the reasons that the proceeding took so long is that. Judge Broderick didn't want it to appear that he was penalizing a defendant for saying that they're innocent. Like normally, if you get charged with a crime, if you plead not guilty, you're allowed to not only plead not guilty in court, but to go outside the courtroom and say, I'm not guilty. You know, you're not supposed to be punished. It's almost a First Amendment thing. But I think that it sort of went, it seems from the way Judge Broderick described it, went to sort of bad faith that Collins should have known that there was a high likelihood that he wouldn't be able to serve out the term and that he would end up leaving his constituents without any representation at all. See what I mean?
Understood. And
way it turned out he was almost trying. Sometimes they allow victim impact statements. If they'd done that here, it would have been much longer. But Judge Broderick seemed to view the constituents, not just the ones that are Republicans, but Democrats as well, the people in his district, as having been kind of defrauded and left without representation by a bad faith decision by Chris Collins.
Did you perceive, and this is going to be a subjective judgment, when Chris Collins was speaking, were we actually reading the words and you hearing the words of a genuinely broken and contrite man, or did you have more of a sense of a performance?
That's the $64,000 question. I think I'll do it this way. I'm going out of my way to be, having spoken to some of my colleagues, I think the majority of people felt it was a bit over the top, maybe contrived. You can never know. That's all I can say. Like, I might feel that myself, but you don't want to say it. I mean, it's a big, it's a lot of months, and he may well have been, it seemed kind of planned out, and he was also kind of looking at the media as he said it. So it's you can't be in somebody's mind, but I think they're definitely, it's not being mean-spirited to say that it may have been not a performance, but it's like anything. You can be upset, and then you can let yourself go because it serves you in the moment. I don't think that his being upset is false. I mean, I think it's definitely, when he said, hey, his son is now a convicted felon, and all the people that he wanted to help the most, he's ended up screwing. That's all true.
One of the points that was made by Judge Broderick kind of indicated that this was not going to be a minimum punishment situation, where the judge said, and again, I got this from your tweets, sure. You didn't tell your son that the tests failed, but not to take action on it and that you would be taken care of.
Correct. Yeah, I think he because they tried to say that the reason that he called his son and he was so emotional about this failing, test for this company that, they made it. The defense was essentially saying this was like a mistake made in an emotional moment. And so Judge Broderick, I think, tried to concede, yes, you might have wanted to talk to your son. He even said right after that, we know that you're close to your son. We don't dispute that. But you could have called him and told him and then said, don't trade on it. I'll try to make you whole in some other way. He said that he repeated that a couple of times. So I think that's true. He even went as far as to say, even if he started down this path of dumping the stock over a weekend, he could have turned it around. Judge Broderick was trying to say that this defense of saying, you just lost your head for a moment doesn't work because the trading went on over the course of days. And even after they dumped, he said, which I don't know if it's that realistic, that they could have rebought the stock and taken a loss, and then Collins, out of his savings, could have, if he felt guilty of people losing money on the stock, he could have paid them back. I don't know how the mathematics of that would work. Once you've dumped the stock, the price has changed. So how do you, put things back the way they were to take the loss that you should have if you hadn't had insider knowledge?
Yeah, down the line, it might have reduced the sentence. It might have shown, evidence of, intent or lack thereof. I want to thank you, Matthew. I want to thank you very much for joining us live on WBEN in Buffalo. And thanks again for the terrific job you did on Twitter at Inner City Press on keeping all of us informed as to what was going on in that courtroom across the state. Much appreciated.
Definitely. If you ever have a Buffalo-related, Western New York-related case down here, I'll be here.
Count on us reaching out. Thank you so much, Matthew.
Okay.
All right. That is the voice of Matthew Russell Lee from Inner City Press. And his live tweets from the courtroom really kept us in the loop today. He was the best courtroom source that we had all day long. And kudos for the work he did. He in his tweets, he stuck to the facts. He quoted the principles involved and kept up with things very, very well. Right now, let's go live to ABC's Aaron Katursky, who is in the courtroom in New York City during today's lengthy proceedings. Aaron, thanks again for being with us. Much appreciated. When the sentence came down, can you put us in the picture? Can you paint that moment for us?
It's tough to really discern anyone's reaction, but I think there had to have been some bit of relief. I mean, the judge effectively split the difference in sentencing Congressman Collins to 2 years and 2 months in prison. The defense had asked for the high end, just shy of 5 years. The defense had asked for no jail time and only home confinement and probation. So in a sense, it is a downward departure from what prosecutors had been asking for. On the other hand, We know that Congressman Collins was emotional, and he called himself an emotional person. He sobbed before the judge imposed the sentence. He apologized to the FBI. He talked about how it's difficult to look his wife in the eye because her credit card was taken away and his daughter's brokerage account was canceled. And so he talked about the difficulties, and he went on. It was tough to follow the whole thing, but he talked about his mother always being proud of him and how he was glad that she wasn't there to see this. I mean, it was clearly a more contrite Chris Collins than we're used to seeing. And, you know, it cut a much different picture than the brash Trump echoing congressman who, you know, invoked the fake news motto when these charges were first dropped.
I asked a previous guest who was in the courtroom his opinion, and this, of course, will be a subjective answer, on whether or not Chris Collins was sincere and contrite, or there was a sense in the courtroom that he was putting on a performance.
I will say I don't know the congressman as well as you might, so it's hard to judge based on. You know, I know him from the initial charges when, you know, he went around calling reporters like me fake news and saying the charges were crap. So he was much different today. But he called himself this emotional person. I take him at his word, given how he appeared in court and seemed to be quite affected by the proceedings. But I mean, that's what happens. I mean, this is the federal charges are no joke, and lying to the FBI, you know, while people like to blow it off, the judge said this is a serious crime, and congressmen before him fought as much in making it a federal crime. The prosecutors talked about the congressman's betrayal of his office and whether the judge weighed that, we don't know specifically, but he did mention it. And he mentioned how New York 27 is now without representation because of Collins's conduct and decision making. So we know that the judge appears to have been somewhat influenced by that. But as far as Collins himself, not knowing him or seeing him on a regular basis, it's hard to weigh. But you take him at his word that he was clearly affected by what was going on around him.
At one point, Aaron, did he refer to or allude to considering suicide when he talked about his wife saying, "We need you here for the kids"?
I didn't catch that part, so I can't speak to that. I'm not sure.
Okay, yeah, I'll try to find the exact quote. What was the reaction, if any, of Chris Collins or his representatives when it was suggested that he return here to Buffalo to face his constituents?
You know, he has said that he's been so ashamed that he's been, you know, far too ashamed to spend time in the community that he represented. And he had asked to be, I think, confined in Florida. So we're not sure that he's prepared to really show his face, you know, around Buffalo anytime soon. We don't know.
Now, that was not an order by the judge. It was a suggestion.
Sure. But we tried to ask the congressman a number of questions, and he ignored reporters on his way out of court. We specifically asked him if he was going to pursue a pardon from President Trump, given his close association and his initial endorsement of Donald Trump's presidential campaign. And he just looked past reporters and walked off.
The quote I referenced earlier from Chris Collins, he whispered, this is from Inner City Press and its Twitter account, "I was..."
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
In a dark place. When I was in that dark hole, she, meaning his wife, said to me, "Don't leave us. I want you in our kids' life." And it was hard for me reading those words to decipher whether that was an allusion to suicide or just vanishing.
Yeah, I it's hard to know what, you know, he wasn't explicit about it. I didn't hear that particular exchange, so it's hard for me to know exactly what he may have meant. But he really did seem to understand the gravity of what he did and what it has now cost him. He lamented how he has ruined the reputation of his son, who's 27. He said he was one of the best scouts in the country, and now he's sort of a ruined man. He said he tarnished his own reputation, and he talked about how difficult it was to look his family in the eye, given the consequences for all of them.
And here's a man who is 69 years old, and he will spend a landmark birthday, presumably his 70th, in a federal prison.
It's true, and we'll find out which prison that's going to be. He'll obviously have some idea of, you know, where he wants to serve his time. Without any prior conviction or any kind of violent offense, you wouldn't think it would be, you know, hard time necessarily, though it's still federal prison. And if you ask anyone who's been in that position, it's still unpleasant.
Now, Martha Stewart, for example.
Yeah. But he will serve the full, there's no parole in the federal system, so he will serve, barring an unforeseen circumstance at the moment, he will serve the whole time.
Now, I was under the understanding that he could sign up for certain programs in prison, which might have the effect, plus good time, of reducing the sentence in reality to more like 24 months as opposed to 26.
Sure, certainly possible, you know, and we'll know that down the road, but just on face, without parole, this is, you know, the defendants are meant to serve their full, their full period. But of course, yes, certain programs and undoubtedly, given his lack of criminal record, he'd be eligible. It may well be slightly reduced, although not by much.
Aaron Katursky, I know it's a late work day for you, and you probably want to get out and enjoy Manhattan on a Friday night. So I do want to thank you very much for your input and for the extra time. Much appreciated.
Anytime. So long.
Aaron Katursky from ABC News joining us on News Radio 930 WBEN. I'm a minute late getting into the 630 news at 631. And it is Bowerly. We are live on a Friday evening. Where else would you rather be than right here, right now? This is a sad day. I mean, there's just no two ways about it. Tremendous human drama unfolding in a courtroom in New York City. And, you know, the whole thing, looking at it from the perspective of just a tool with a microphone, all right? I look at a guy like Chris Collins with a net worth of tens of millions of dollars, and to just flush everything to save his kid and his in-laws not even $1 million, it just seems so unnecessary and like such a waste. And as a result of his actions, Chris Collins has been sentenced to 26 months in prison, a $200,000 fine, and a year's probation. So that is Chris Collins. And I don't care how much money you've got, the worst thing I think you can do to somebody is deprive them of their liberty. And as just another inmate, Chris Collins, you will have more freedom, even in New York State, than Chris Collins will have at even a federal minimum security prison. There's no point in housing him with anybody violent or anything like that. But, you know, just think about that. 70 is a milestone birthday, and he'll be spending it not in the bosom of his family, but elsewhere. Let's go to Republican strategist Carl Calabrese on News Radio 930 WBEN. Carl, from the texts you've received, the emails and IMs and everything else, how is the Republican political world taking the 26-month sentence of Chris Collins?
Tom, I think most people have mixed emotions on this. Sadness is one. You mentioned the sadness factor. If you listen to what he said, I don't think he was putting on an act. I mean, talk about a fall from grace and the impact on his life, his reputation, his family, and, you know, going from somebody who was used to very good style of living and perks to a federal prison. There's no such thing as a country club jail. It's still jail. Losing your liberty, as you mentioned, having your mail censored, having your phone calls limited. If you show up late for something, you get demerits and you can't make phone calls. You're in prison. You're in jail. And I think, you know, I'm thinking from the standpoint that let's not forget this was not a victimless crime. They were victims here. They're nameless. They're faceless. But there are people who bought those stocks thinking that they were going to enhance their retirement accounts and their kids' college accounts. So they bought those stocks thinking they could make money and then got stuck with a worthless stock. And so they're the victims as well, and we shouldn't forget that. So, and I can't speak for the whole Republican Party, but I think most people on the Republican side would say it's a very sad ending to a guy who had a very promising career. It's a human tragedy, both from his standpoint and the victims who bought those worthless stocks. And you know, he's going to face up to it, and he certainly said that he was, you know, ready, willing, and able to face up to the consequences. He didn't try to shirk the responsibility, blame anybody else. And he took the blame, told the judge, you know, basically whatever you decide, that's what it's going to be. You'll get no argument from me. So now we move on. Now the party is thinking about who's next, who gets designated to run in that special election in April as a Republican candidate. And that'll be the next big decision to be made by the Republican Party as a whole.
Well, you've got a choice of some very talented candidates.
No question.
In NY27, I mean, I can think of two offhand that I think are exceptional, but we'll save that for another day. You know, presumably, Chris Collins better than myself and better than most people in our listening audience. You know, there is a perception that he is or was an arrogant man. Somebody messaged in from the restaurant community saying maybe he'll figure out how to treat restaurant workers better when he gets bad jail food. What would cause Chris Collins, a multi-millionaire, to risk so much for such little return? Is it arrogance? Is it hubris? What is it?
Well, first of all, let me say I knew Chris very well. I first met him when he was running for his very first public office back in 1996. He was running for Congress against then Congressman John LaFalce. I was supervisor of the town of Tonawanda, and as a newcomer into the business, he would call me whenever he was coming to a big event in Tonawanda and ask if I was going, and if I was, would I take them around and introduce them to folks I knew. And so I did that, I don't know how many times during that 1996 campaign. And so we became friends back then. I belonged to a cigar club, and once a year we have a big charity smoker. Chris would always come there, and you get to see a different side of him there. He would relax and enjoy a good cigar and talk and tell stories about inside Washington, and people would laugh. But he also, he was never a warm and fuzzy backslapping kind of politician. He had a certain air about him that if you didn't know him socially, as many of us did, he had a kind of a force field around him. And he was tough to get to. If you look back and when he lost the county executive race, he lost that on style, not substance, in my opinion, because I remember a poll was done and people were asked, do you believe Chris Collins has kept and fulfilled his promises that he made when he ran for county executive? 70% of people said yes. Normally, if you're an incumbent, you've got that kind of response to that kind of question, you're a shoo-in. He lost it on style. And so he was a difficult guy sometimes to get close to. He did have an arrogant streak to him, and many people encountered that with him. But he was also a very good congressman, and he legitimately cared about a number of issues and put his whole being into them. But why did he do this? You're a student of human nature. I mean, greed and lust are the two things that can get otherwise clear-headed, rational people to do goofy things. And I think that was the greed part of it was probably the factor that explains this. And not just for himself, but for his son. Obviously not for himself. He didn't sell any stocks. He took the loss. And it's right. It doesn't make any sense. He could have covered the losses for his son very easily.
Right. And that came up, Carl. We're talking with Carl Calabrese, Republican political strategist. If you're just joining us, former Congressman Chris Collins, just a short while ago, was sentenced to 26 months in federal prison. He'll pay a $200,000 fine next week, a $200 assessment, and a year of probation. So 26 months in prison is the sentence for Chris Collins. You know, it came up frequently in court today, Carl, that it was not just it wasn't the not guilty plea, and it wasn't saying not guilty. It was the running for office while knowing that the government likely had the necessary evidence on which to convict him of the crimes, which he did decry as fake news. That really, it seemed to have an impact following the Twitter account of Inner City Press on the judge.
Yeah, it sure did, because he asked them numerous questions about that. And, looking back at it, Chris Collins should not have run for re-election that year. He put that seat at risk, and the Republican Party almost lost it, a seat it should never lose. He should have backed out of the race and allowed someone else to run in that seat and concentrate on his legal defense, which he has every right to do. Looking back at it, that should have happened. He should have backed out.
You know, it was also interesting that Chris Collins, I'll paraphrase, basically said, I moved out of Buffalo because I was too embarrassed to face the people who'd voted for me or the people I'd represented.
Hello?
Can you hear me? Carl?
Oh, yeah, I lost you there.
Oh, no. It was also interesting to me, Carl, that Chris Collins said essentially that he was too ashamed to stay in Buffalo and face the people he'd let down. And then the judge suggested he come back to Buffalo, presumably before checking into prison. I don't think there's much chance of his coming back to Buffalo, do you?
No, I don't think so. I think he is truly and sincerely humiliated. And he knows that he did wrong with making that phone call. He knows he did wrong with calling it fake news and continuing to proclaim his innocence. I think he knows he did wrong by running for re-election. And I'm not doubting him at all that he is that humiliated a man now. And as you mentioned earlier in your show this afternoon, Tom, there was some talk about him being, I'm not sure if he said it or his wife said it, about being in such a dark place and a deep hole that his wife, by the words, sounded like she was concerned about his mental state and possibly doing something drastic.
Yeah, but she reportedly said, don't leave us. You know, we need you around for the family. Don't leave us, in conjunction with talking with Chris Collins, talking about his being in a very dark place.
Yeah, I mean, I interpreted the same way you did, that she may very well have thought he was suicidal. We're speculating. Only he knows his mental condition. But no question in my mind that he is truly humiliated to the point where he just wants to disappear.
There is zero chance he's going to receive a presidential pardon from President Trump, correct?
It's a pretty low chance. I mean, there may be people who appeal to the president for a pardon, but I don't see it. I really don't. I think he's going to jail. I think he'll get out. You know, he'll probably get out in 18 months. But still, this is just as big a turnaround in your lifestyle and everything you've ever done, everywhere you've ever lived. Suddenly now you're going to be wearing an orange jumpsuit and lining up and having attendance taken every day and then going to lunch when they tell you to go to lunch.
Yeah, I mean, you know the guy. Was there ever a sense from him emanating that he was somehow above the law, that the rules for the hoi polloi didn't matter to Chris Collins?
No. No, I never saw a reckless side of him with legal and political and legislative matters. Or, you know, I have known people in politics who play fast and loose, who like to go right to the line and then back off. I never got that impression with Chris. He was, you know, what you saw is what you got in most cases, in that he was a very rational thinker. He knew numbers, he knew systems, he analyzed things to the nth degree. In fact, somebody once asked me, they said he was going to be meeting with a group, and this group had requested a meeting with the congressman, and they said, how can you advise us? What do you advise us on how to deal with him? And I said, well, understand that he'll probably spend the first 20 minutes of meeting talking about inside Congress stuff, okay? And you gotta work that into your time frame. He's just going to spend a lot of time talking about inside stuff. But remember, once you get to your topic, Chris has a saying that he repeats all the time. It's hanging in his office in Washington in a frame. You know, in God we trust, all others bring data. And after the meeting, the guy came back to me and said, boy, did you nail that one? He said, exactly as you said. He spent 20 minutes talking about inside politics in Washington. And then when we got down to our topic, he said to our president, God we trust, all of us bring data. And we went on from there. I mean, that's the kind of guy he was. And boy, I'll tell you, he had a mind on him for numbers and systems. He could analyze, you know, massive budgets and immediately find problems and issues and opportunities. And, you know, no question the guy had a superior intellect. But, no, I never saw any recklessness about the law and what side of it he should be on until this thing.
I mean, this is as rookie a mistake as somebody can make, and he was no rookie with financial matters. That's the thing that I think stuns me the most about this.
I what was he thinking when he made that call? Which we saw the video. He was in the Rose Garden or on the White House lawn, and he made the call. What was he thinking? What was he thinking his son was going to do? You know, I mean, did he really? Now if. Looking back at it, I mean, I can understand him making the call to his son and saying, test failed. But the next sentence out of his mouth should have been, don't do anything with your stock. I'll take care of the loss. Okay? Don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. Just sit tight.
Yeah, and that was pointed out in court today. Had he made the call and said, don't do anything, but yeah. I'll take care of this.
Yeah, there's nothing illegal about making a phone call and telling someone about those trial tests failing. All he had to say was, just sit tight, I'll take care of it. It's over. And he's the congressman then. We're not having this discussion.
Yeah, I mean, this whole thing has just been as amazing a fall from grace. And again, as we got into at the beginning of our discussion, you know, the idea that you go from the kind of lifestyles of the rich and famous life on Marco Island, Florida, which is by Fort Myers and very ritzy, to go from that, from Spalding Lake to Marco Island, to a federal prison in Pensacola, and have to spend maybe 26, 24 months there is something.
Yeah, in a 10 by 12 cell. I mean, you know, with government-issued sheets and a combination toilet and sink. I mean, it's just, it's hard to, really, it's really tough to comprehend that fall from grace, as I mentioned earlier. But, hey, look, if you know people in law enforcement, I know you do, they'll tell you all the time. There's no explaining the human condition sometimes of why otherwise rational, level-headed people do things that get them in trouble.
Yep, I don't think I'm ever going to understand that. But, Carl, I want to thank you very much for joining us on WBEN with your thoughts live here after the sentencing of former Congressman Chris Collins. Much appreciated.
My pleasure, Tom. Thank you.
Carl Calabrese, Republican political strategist. And I want to thank you guys for hanging in there and listening to this special live hour of the program. And if you're just joining us late, Chris Collins, who used to be the representative of NY27, Chris Collins was sentenced today in federal court in New York City to 26 months in prison. He'll pay a $200,000 fine, $200,000 fine, a $200 assessment, and also a year of probation. And we talked with Paul Cambria earlier in the program, and even with good time and some of the programs for which Chris Collins may be able to sign, he still is probably looking at 24 months. So apparently it's not a question of even with the good time and the programs, is this thing going to be cut to 18 months or 16 months or anything like that. He's looking probably at least 2 years in federal prison.
Oh, it's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.